Okay, good morning. So today's daf is daf Chaf Gimel, and we're going to pick up three lines down on daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, so Itmar, we learned, Kometz de Minchas Chote Sheshamnu. So we know, we've discussed this fact, that a Minchas Chote does not get oil, does not get Levona, because it's meant to represent the chet, the avera that happened there. So it's a simple mincha. So therefore, it's a mincha that's made out of flour. But what happens here that after? So we know the pasuk tells us straight, which we're going to see the pasuk in a moment. But the pasuk says that you cannot add. It says lo yosim aleh shemim lo yitin aleh levona ki chatas hi. So the pasuk in Vayikra Hey says that you shouldn't put any oil in it and you shouldn't put any levona. So as we're going to see, that's discussing at the beginning of the carbon. But the question here is you have a kometz. So they've already taken the kometz, and the kometz from this dry mincha, this mincha flour, subsequently got some oil on it. So the halacha is Rav Yochanan Amar. Rav Yochanan says pasul. It's pasul presumably because the minchas chote is not supposed to have oil, and now that they put some oil on the kometz before it got burned on the mizbeach, so that invalidates it. Reish Lakish Amar, Reish Lakish says, it says hu atmo mishachshecho b'shire halug umaleu. He says he himself should shake it, or according to some things, rub it with leftovers of the lug, of the oil, and he should bring it up. So the idea would be, Reish Lakish is saying, not only is it okay if it gets some oil on it, but it's actually a good thing. You should get some oil on it, and it's ideal to do that. Now, when it talks about the leftovers from the lug, it's obviously not talking about the leftovers from the lug from this carbon, because this is a minchas chote, and it doesn't have a lug of shemen. So it's saying from some other lug from a carbon mincha. Now you might ask yourself, as Tosas does, Tosas, the second Tosas says, Perish lug shel menachos shenitosar. We're talking about leftover oil from a different mincha. Now ask Tosas, im tomar, hatanam bepirkon, we're going to learn later in our perek, Hashemen miuto ma'akives rubo. We've talked about this concept that the entire oil needs to go. Whenever you have a mincha that has oil, all the oil needs to go. So how do you possibly have leftover oil that can go on the kometz of the minchas chote? And so it's important, and a lot of the Rishonim address this, but Tosas' answer I think is an important one to see. He says, V'yesh lomar, shalo nitna tayra l'malachei ashares, v'yefshar shalo yishar belug min hashemen. So he says, even though it's true that all the oil needs to be on, it's an important thing to understand. This concept you see sometimes, that the Torah wasn't given to malachei ashares. Everything can't be done to its perfect and nth degree, and therefore, so while the halacha is that when you have a lug of shemen, you have to pour all of it in its entirety into the mincha, but it's not like there can't be a single drop of oil left. So Tosas is saying that's where you get the leftover oil. So you do your best to pour in the oil on the mincha that needs oil. There's always going to be some residue left, and that's what we're talking about. That he took the kometz of the dry of this minchas chote, this flour mincha, and he rubbed it on some of the oil. So we have a machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan says pasul, and Reish Lakish says, on the contrary, it's a good thing, you should in fact do this. So now the Gemara asks, according to Reish Lakish, who says you should do this, I have a problem, v'aksiv. It's written, this is the pasuk I quoted before, l'yosim aleh ha-shemim, v'l'yitin aleh ha-levona. It says in the pasuk that when you have a minchas chote, you're not supposed to put any oil on it. So how can it be that you, Reish Lakish, say, not only is it okay, but it's ideal? So the Gemara says, "Hahu shelo yikva l'shemen kechavruseho." So this is coming to tell you that you should not put shemen in the manner that you would on another kind of mincha, i.e., a mincha that gets oil. So when do you ordinarily put the oil on the mincha? You do it before you take the kometz. We have the multiple steps of pouring the oil, a little bit, then some more oil. But the point is, all of that happens before you take the kometz. And what's the case that we're dealing with here is post taking the kometz, that you now have, you've taken the kometz and you're left with just dry flour. So that, according to Reish Lakish, is okay to get oil on it, and it's not going to be it's not going to be a problem, a violation of the pasuk that says, "Lo yasim alei shemen, lo yitin alei levonim." Okay, Eisvei Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. So Rav Yochanan, who says this pasuk, asked on Reish Lakish from the following. We say, Charev shenis arev bivalo, yakriv, that if you have a dry carbon that became mixed with a balo, means a mixed carbon, but it means a mincha that has flour and oil, yakriv, you can bring it. Okay, so what are we talking about here? We're talking, so in other words, presumably, when we say a charev, a dry carbon, we're talking about one of the carbonas that does not have any oil in it. So it would be either a minchas chote or a minchas sota, basically, that gets offered on the mizbeach. And it got mixed with another kind of mincha that has oil in it. And so the halacha, according to the Tanakama, is yakriv. It should be brought. Now, who is the Tanakama? The Tanakama, as we've been discussing, that there's a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama. We say the Tanakama, we learned this yesterday, that the Tanakama is of the opinion that even though normally things are batal berov, whether it's min b'mino or min b'sheino mino, whether it's a like kind or not a like kind, the Chachamim learned from the psukim that talk about the dam hapar and the dam ha-sa'ir that you would that items that are going up olin ein mevatlin zeh, things that are going to go up on the mizbeach are not mevatel each other. So therefore, it's not a problem that the dry mincha got mixed with the oily mincha, because even to the extent that the oil went into the dry mincha, when ordinarily you would say, so if some of the oil from the oily mincha went into the dry mincha, you'd say, oh, that's a problem. Because now we have a dry mincha that has oil, and we have a oil mincha that is deficient in some of its oil. So you would normally say that's a problem. But it's not a problem because according to the Chachamim, things that are going to go ola on the Mizbeach are not mevatel each other. So therefore, since both the dry mincha and the oily mincha are going to go up on the Mizbeach, and therefore, even if there's a mixing of the oil, it doesn't matter because they don't, it's not but the one and the other, and they each retain their independent identity. So even though physically there's some oil from the oily mincha in the dry mincha, it doesn't matter because it's not batel in the dry mincha. It's considered still attached to its original mincha. And when you offer up both of these minchos, both of these kometzes, it's going to be fine because it's not batel one and the other according to Chachamim. Rav Yehuda, on the other hand, Rav Yehuda Amar, Rav Yehuda says, lo yakriv. He should not offer it up. Why would he say you should not offer it up? Because at the end of the day, what you have here is dissimilar things. Rav Yehuda does not agree with the Chachamim, whereas the Chachamim learned that Dvarim that go up on the Mizbeach are not but the one and the other. Rav Yehuda doesn't agree with that. He learns from the Dama Par and Dama Sayer that we talked about yesterday, that the limud from there is that min b'mino is not batel. Things that are similar are not batel. Now, what are we dealing with here? We're dealing with things that are dissimilar because you have a dry mincha and you have an oily mincha. So therefore, if they're going to mix in each other, you run into the problem that your mincha charev, your dry mincha has now absorbed some oil, which it's not supposed to have. So that's a problem. And your oily mincha is deficient in its oil because some of its oil got absorbed into and became batel to the dry mincha. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, you should not offer it up. So now, says the Gemara, my love, aren't we talking about a case of komatz de minchas chote, de yarev bekomatz de minchas nedava? We're talking about, as we said before, it must be, what does it mean when it says a dry mincha? It's talking about like a minchas chote, a mincha that does not have any oil, and it got mixed with a mincha, like a minchas nedava, one that has oil in it. So what do you see? So now, why is that a question? So this is a question on Reish Lakish, because what we see from here is that Rabbi Yehuda, the problem here is going to be that everyone seems to see a problem with oil getting mixed, if not for something. So in other words, Rabbi Yehuda is saying generally these can't be mixed because it's min b'sheino mino and it's batel. And even the Chachamim, who say that it's okay that you can be makrovit, the only reason they say that it can be makrovit is because we're dealing with two things that are going to go up on the Mizbeach. You have a oily mincha, you have a dry mincha. Those are both going to go up on the Mizbeach. That's the reason it's not batel. But If we were dealing with, in other words, from the fact that they argue in a case where it's two things going up on the Mizbeach, that's clearly coming to demonstrate the instance in that case. But if you would be dealing with a scenario where there was oil that got mixed into the dry mincha, into the komets of the dry mincha, that was not oil coming from something else that's going up on the Mizbeach, so then clearly it would be a problem. Because the Chachamim are saying, why is it not a problem that the oil from the oily mincha gets into the dry mincha when you would think it would be batel? It's not a problem because we're dealing with two things that are going to go up on the Mizbeach. But the implication would be, had the oil come in from somewhere else, not something that's going to go up on the Mizbeach, it would have been a problem, right? So that's, on earth, because if they were coming to teach you a chiddush that even where oil comes into a dry mincha, so then talk about regular oil. Why are you talking about mincha from another carbon? It must be that Chachamim are only saying that because we're dealing with another carbon. But if it would be plain oil, it would be a problem. Now that is a problem according to Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish is the one who says that once something becomes a kometz, once it's already, even though it's from a dry mincha, once it becomes a kometz, you can add oil. And we see here where we're talking about a case of two kometzes, one that's a oily and one that's a dry. You see that if not for the fact that they were both going up on the Mizbeach, you would not be able to have these, you would not be able to bring the dry mincha. So that is a kasha on Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish would answer, lo. In other words, you're assuming that when we say charev, that you have a dry mincha got mixed with a balol, you're talking about a minchas chote with some kind of oily mincha. He says, no, actually what we're talking about is minchas parim ve'elim b'minchas kvasim. So we talked about this a little bit briefly yesterday, that there is differing levels, differing ratios of oil to flour. So when you have a minchas parim ve'elim, although the numbers are different, the ratio is the same. It's three lugin of oil to six isaron of flour, or four lugin of oil to, depending whether you're dealing with a par or an ayal, you have three lugin to six isarons, or you have two lugin to four isarons. So in either case, it's a 1-to-2 ratio, meaning there's two parts oil to each part, one part oil to each two parts of flour. So therefore, the ratio is the same. Whereas in a minchas kvasim, when you're dealing with a lamb, so then the ratio is 3-to-1, right? So therefore, we talked about this yesterday, the minchas kvasim would be more liquidy, it's more because it has a greater proportion of oil to flour than does the other two, and that's the case we're dealing with here. So how does that get Reish Lakish out of a problem? Because we're not talking about a dry mincha, meaning a mincha that has just flour and you've taken the komets and now some oil got added in. We're talking about two different minachos that have differing proportions of oil in them. Okay, so that's an interesting machlokas, but it has nothing to do with Reish Lakish. That's how Reish Lakish gets out of this and says that the Chachamim are arguing about this point. So the Rabbanan are saying that the Rabbanan are saying it's simple because it doesn't matter what got mixed one in the other because both of these are going to be ola on the Mizbeach, and therefore we're dealing with dvarim that are olim and then they're not mevatels as that. So it doesn't matter if their oil mixes. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, it is a problem because since you have a one carbon with a greater proportion of oil than the other, I guess the sense is that the oil equalizes across it. So what's happening is that the mincha that had a lesser proportion of oil now has more oil, and the mincha that had more oil has lost some of its oil into the other mincha. So answers Reish Lakish, that's what we're talking about here. Nothing to do with a true dry mincha. When it says charev and balol, that is a dry one versus a mixed one, it's speaking in relative terms. It's saying drier and more oily, but not truly dry. So the Gemara says, well, that's nice, but it doesn't work with this brisa that we're analyzing. Why? Because we didn't see the whole language. But the brisa specifically addressed that case. The brisa said, minchas parim ve'elim b'minchas kvasim. Case number one, where you had a mincha of a par or an ayal, which has a 2-to-1 ratio, got mixed, 1-to-2 ratio, so got mixed with a keves that's a 1-to-3 ratio. So that's case number one. And then the case we were dealing with, v'charev shenisarev bebalo, a dry one that got mixed with a wet one. So we were looking at just those words, a dry one that got mixed with a wet one. Reish Lakish tried to reinterpret it and say, what's it talking about? It's talking about a minchas parim ve'elim that got mixed with a minchas kvasim. It's not talking about a truly dry one. But if you look at the Braisa says that case explicitly as case number one. And then case number two is the dry one that got mixed with the oily one. So clearly, you can't reinterpret case number two to be case number one, because the Braisa already addressed that. So says the Gemara. So that's the question. Is the Braisa already addressed that case? So you can't reinterpret what is case number two to be addressing case number one, because then you'd be saying the same thing twice. So really, it seems that it is talking about a truly dry mincha. So says the Gemara, no. Perushi kama farishla. That it's not two cases. It's not a case of a minchas parim ve'elim that got mixed with a minchas kvasim as case number one, and a dry one that got mixed with a wet one. It's explaining. It's saying when you have a minchas parim ve'elim, you have an animal that has a 1-to-2 ratio. The mincha that has a 1-to-2 ratio got mixed with a mincha that has a 1-to-3 ratio, which is a case of the drier mincha getting mixed with the more oily and liquidy mincha. That's the case we're talking about. In that case, the Chacham say Yakrav, Yehudomer says lo Yakrav, that you don't offer it. So we had a case where we brought the Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says it's possible, Reish Lakish says it's ideal to add oil, and we left off that we're not dealing here. And we asked a question from this Braisa, and we're saying that Braisa is talking about relative degrees of oiliness. It's not talking about something truly dry, so it doesn't relate to Reish Lakish's case. Okay, on to a new topic. Boi Rava. Kometz Shemitza Shimno Agabe Eitzim Mahu. So you took a kometz, and now we're talking about an oily kometz. And as we know, that the oil that's in a mincha, the whole thing has to go up on the mizbeach, right? So what happens? He squeezed out some of the shemen onto either the wood that was already on the mizbeach or another piece of wood that was going to go together with the mincha on the mizbeach. So the question is, mahu, what's the halacha? So the answer is, the issue is that you have a mincha. 100% of that mincha needs to be offered up on the, or that you have a kometz. 100% of that kometz needs to be offered up on the mizbeach. And in fact, he offers up 100% of that mincha, of that kometz on the mizbeach. But what happened? He separated it. He had the mincha portion, and then he put some of the oil, instead of together with the rest of the mincha, was put onto some of the wood that's on the mizbeach. So the question is, do we look at it and say, chibure olin ka'olin damu, that things that are attached to something that's going up is like the thing that's going up? So if you're putting something on the mizbeach, as long as everything that's supposed to be there is in the primary body or is attached to it, it's fine. So then therefore, it's not a problem that he put some of the oil on the wood. Olav ka'olin damu, or maybe we say, no, it doesn't work that way. At the end of the day, the mincha needs to be placed 100% whole onto the mizbeach, and this guy chose to put some of the oil separate and apart from the main mincha. So that's the question that Rava had. Amar le Ravina le Ravashi. Ravina said to Ravashi, Lav hainu de Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish. He says, isn't that exactly like a different machlokas we have between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? What is that? The itmar that we learned. Hamala aver she'em bo kezayis ve'etzem mashlimo le kezayis. So you have, what are we dealing with here? We're dealing with someone who is male b'chutz. He brings up a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So we know that has a punishment of kares and malkus. And the question, though, we've dealt with this halacha, that you need some kind of shear. Kezayis and aver, the whole animal, whatever, we've talked about that in the past. But what we're saying is this guy brought up an aver that did not have a kezayis. So the idea would be, let's go in the Mepharshim discusses, but let's just go in the opinion that you need to bring up an entire aver. So an entire limb from the animal. Now what happens if you have a limb that is less than a kezayis? That, we're gonna say, is not considered offering up a whole limb, because if it's not a kezayis, it's not a meaningful measure, as we often say. So what happened here? He brought up a limb that's less than a kezayis. So you might say that he's not chayav, but what happened? Attached to it was a bone. Now, bones are not really part of what gets offered up. If you have bones in the meat that you put on the mizbeach, it's fine, it's no problem, but that's not the critical part of the carbon. So here's the issue. You have a full aver. You have a full limb, which ordinarily would obligate you. But it's too small. But in this case, attached to this limb is a bone. And if you look at the limb together with the bone, it reaches the kezias minimum standard. And the question is that sufficient? Rabbi Yochanan says, chayev. Rish Lakish Omer Pater. Rabbi Yochanan says he's chayev for offering up a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash because he reached the shear. And Rish Lakish says he's pater because at the end of the day, a bone is not, in other words, you need to have a shear of the Aver, and the Aver itself doesn't have the shear. Rabbi Yochanan says he's chayev because chibure olin ka'olin damu. Because something that's attached to something that's going up on the Mizbeach is like the thing that's going up on the Mizbeach. So therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, he's chayev because generally speaking, something that's attached to a carbon is like the carbon. So since there was a bone attached to the Aver, so it's looked at for purposes of the shear. Reish Lakish Amar Pater, Reish Lakish says Pater because he holds Chibure Olin, Lavka Olin Damu. That if something's attached, but it's extraneous, it's not actually part of the carbon, it's not considered as if it's together. So therefore, even though physically you've offered up a bone together with this Aver, it's just an extraneous piece of material. It's considered as if it's not really attached. And therefore, what are you left with? You're left with the Aver. It is a bone. It is a limb, but it is less than the kezias. So therefore, Reish Lakish would say, that's not a valid carbon. And so he lucked out because since he brought this outside of the Beis HaMikdash, but it wasn't the requisite shear, according to Reish Lakish. So therefore, he's pater from being chayev for being mala b'chutz, for offering up a carbon outside. So this is Ravina said to Ravashi. He says, you know, Rava had this question, how do we look at it when you put a little bit of the oil on the outside? And it's a question, is that something that's mechubar la'ola, is it ka'ola damu? He says, that's exactly like the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So why would that not be dispositive for Rava as to what would be the halacha that Rabbi Yochanan would say that it is considered attached, and therefore it's a valid kometz, and the mincha works for its owner, and Reish Lakish would say it's not attached because you separated the oil, it's considered unattached, and therefore the owner is not going to be yotzei his chiyuv of a mincha with this thing. So the Gemara says, Tibay l'Rabbi Yochanan v'Tibay l'Reish Lakish. The answer to Ravina, Ravashi would say, to Ravina, it's not so simple that you just assume that their views on the case of oil that was separated onto the wood would be the same as the case of a etzem, of a bone that's attached to the aver. Why? So he says, Tibay l'Rabbi Yochanan, you could ask according to Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan was the one who says that chibure olin ka'olin damu, that something that's attached is like attached. He said that halacha by the bone. So you could say, ad kan l'kam Rabbi Yochanan hasam, that in the case of the bone, Rabbi Yochanan said that we look at the bone as if it's part of the aver and it's attached. He said, maybe he only said it there, ela be'etzim, in the case of a bone, demina de basarhu. Because the bone, at the end of the day, is part of the meat. It's part of the animal. So when you're offering up an aver, and the aver has a bone attached, it's a natural component of it. So maybe that's why Rav Yochanan says that you look at chibure ochlen ka ochlen damu. He says, aval hai, de lav demina de kometsu, but when you have oil, which there's nothing inherently connected about oil and flour, these are two things that we're mixing. Right? But in other words, there's no such thing as oil flour as an independent entity. So I would say not. So maybe, even though Rabbi Yochanan in the case of Etzem says chibur olin ka'olin damu, maybe he would say that by the oil case it doesn't work that way. Odilmo, or maybe I'll tell you, afilu Reish Lakish, that even according to Reish Lakish, who said chibur olin lav ka'olin damu, and he said that the bone does not fulfill the shear, the requisite amount in the case of the aver, maybe in this case he would say it, the oil is connected. So he says, "V'dilma filu Reish Lakish lo ka'amar be'etzem davar." He says, "Davar mefareshu v'parish lav mitzvah la'adure avol shemen de lav bar mefareshu lo." So he says as follows: we encountered this concept before. We talked about this in Zvachim. If you have the bone, if it's disconnected, if it's somehow disconnected, we dealt with this in Zvachim, where, you know, the fire of the Mizbeach heated it up and the bone shot off the Mizbeach. We talked about that case. So it got hot and it shot off the Mizbeach. The halacha is, you would not put the bone back on because, as I said before, bones aren't really part of the offering. There's just, if it's there, it's there. But if it falls off, it would go away. So maybe in that case, Reish Lakish said that something that's attached is not, it's something that's adjacent or attached is not considered part of it. Why? Because it's not really part of the carbon. In fact, if the bone were to fly off, you wouldn't put it back on the mizbeach. As distinct from a piece of wood that has the actual oil of the mincha on it, that you would put back on the mizbeach if it fell off. So maybe when Reish Lakish said that we don't look at it as being attached, that's only in a case of a bone. But in the case of the oil, he would say it is attached because we would put the oil back on the mizbeach. So the Gemara says, so maybe each of them would say differently than they say by the case of etzem in the case of oil. Or maybe not. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan would still say that he's saying that's something that's ola, something that's chibure olin ka olin damu. And Reish Lakish would still say chibure olin lav ka olin damu. So the Gemara says, we don't have the answer to Rava's question about what happens when he separated this oil onto the wood. Okay, says the Mishnah. Now, just if I end up reading Rashi, which I don't know if I will, the Rashi for this Mishnah is actually on Chav Beis, because I guess Rashi had it all as one Mishnah. Okay, so says the Mishnah, Shtei menachos shelo nikmetzu minizarvu zu bezu. So what happened? You had two carbon minchas, whatever it was, oily, not oily, okay, and they somehow got put in one thing. So im yacho likmot mizu b'fnei atzo u'mizu b'fnei atzmo kisheros v'im lav psulos. So we say as follows: if you're able to take a komets from this one and a komets from that one, then you're fine because you've offered up both carbon minchas. But if not, then it's puzzle. So what's going on here? So as Rashi points out, that so the question is that when it says he says because it says in Taras Karnim, we darshin misolta velo misolas chaverto, that we said the pasuk says that the mincha has to come from its flour, right? So the issue is that when you take a mincha, you need to make sure that 100% of the flour that you're taking from the mincha came from that mincha that you're taking the komets from, right? So therefore, let's just take an easy case. If you had a mincha, let's say mincha schote, so we're dealing just with flour here. You had a mincha schote 1 and mincha schote 2. They got mixed together, just poured into a bowl together. That's puzzle. Why? Because if I'm going to go take a kmitza, there's nothing that tells me that each komets is going to be 100% of the flour that from the mincha that it came from. Obviously not. So what case are we dealing with here? So let's say we're dealing with somehow, let's say both minchas got poured into something, and you could see that there's like it's like a concentric circle, right? Some of it is mixed on top of each other, but there's enough on the sides that clearly did not get mixed. So the Mishnah is saying, if you could take a komets from here, and you could take a komets from here, so then it's fine. Because even though they got mixed together, at the end of the day, you're still able to extract a valid komets from each, and therefore you could offer those up. Does the Mishnah next case, Kometz Shenisarev bin Mincha Shlo Nikmetzo. So he says as follows. Now you had two minchas that got mixed together, but they were at different stages. One had already had kmitza done, so there was a kometz, a standalone kometz, and it got mixed with another mincha that did not have kmitza done to it yet. So the halacha is Lo Yaktir. You shouldn't offer it up. So now, the issue is as follows, that clearly, so he says clearly, so we're talking about a case where you can't, it got mixed together, so you can't pull out, you can't know that you got an independent kmitza. The idea is you shouldn't burn it. Why? Because even though the komet should get burnt, in the case of the other mincha, the one that had never had a komet taken from it, Rashi says, if there's no mitzvah, and the Mefarshim discussed this extensively, I don't want to get into it right now, but if there's no mitzvah to take it, then you're not supposed to offer up and since there's no mitzvah to burn an entire mincha, only the komets, then therefore we're going to say that you should not offer up this, and we're stuck. We had a komets that was extracted from a carbon mincha, got mixed with an undone mincha, so neither mincha can be offered up, and the owners are going to have to bring another mincha. But says the Mishnah, "V'yem hikter zush nikmatz olo l'bailim v'zush lo nikmatz olo l'bailim." What happens if it got offered up? So we said the unextracted mincha, you're not supposed to burn the whole thing because it's not a mitzvah to burn the whole thing. It's only a mitzvah to burn a kometz, and therefore you don't burn the non-kometz portion. But if in fact someone went and burned it, so they went ahead, even though there's no mitzvah to burn the unextracted mincha, he did it. And when he did that, what happened? The other kometz also got burned. So now the other kometz was helped. So in other words, we said lechatchila you shouldn't offer it up. But now at the end of the day, what happened? The kometz that had already been taken was burnt on the mizbeach. And now we say that that kometz works for its owner because they had a carbon mincha, they did kemitza, the kemitza got burned on the mizbeach. Okay, valid carbon as distinct from the other one. Kemitza is ma'akev. So he had a carbon mincha. No kometz was ever taken. It got burned on the mizbeach. He's not yotzei with that. Even though whatever would have been a kometz got burned, it doesn't help because it wasn't separated as a kometz. Okay. Case number 3 in the Mishnah. Nis'arev, and pay attention because we're going to deal with each of these cases in detail, in another context. Nis'arev kumsa b'shireha oy b'shireha shel chaverto. Okay, so you have a kometz that was taken that got mixed with its own shirayim or with a different shirayim. Okay, so what happened? So I had a bowl of mincha, I took out I did kemitza, took out the kometz, and now what's supposed to happen? That goes into its own klei shareis, it goes to hagasha, it goes to the mizbeach, it gets burned. Somehow, it got put back in with its own shirayim. Right? Or with some other shirayim. It really doesn't matter. Now, what's the problem with this? So the pasuk says, and we're going to deal with this pasuk a little bit later, but the pasuk learns. So we say, hold on, I'm trying to remember the exact language of the pasuk. We say ki chol devash lo saktiru, the sar and devash you don't offer up. I don't remember the exact language of the pasuk, but in any event, it says lo saktiru mimenu isha lashem, that from devash and sar you don't offer from it a fire offering to Hashem. Now the issue is that mimenu from it seems extraneous. In other words, as you say, that if you have sa'ar and davash, lo saktiru isha l'Hashem, you shouldn't burn from it an isha l'Hashem. What do you need to say? Well, you shouldn't burn isha l'Hashem, a fire offering to Hashem. Why do you need to say mimenu, from it? So therefore, we learn the pasuk as follows. Kol shemimenu l'ishim, harei hu beval saktiru. Anything that from it, so we're looking at the word mimenu, from it, in a standalone context. Anything that from it was taken, isha l'Hashem, something that goes up on the Mizbeach Tashem, that should not get burnt. Okay, so how is that relevant? So if you have a carbon mincha, and there's other contexts to this too, but in order, as it relates to a mincha, you have a carbon mincha. The mincha in its entirety had a kometz taken from it, which is something, so it had something taken from it that's Isha Lashem, because the kometz is supposed to get burnt on the Mizbeach, right? So now what do you have? You have Shirayim from a mincha that had something taken from it for Hashem. So therefore, it tells you that the shirayim, lo saktiru, you shouldn't burn it. So you see a halacha, that if you have shirayim should not get burnt on the mizbeach. Okay, so what happened here? The guy took a kometz. The kometz then got mixed with shirayim. So now he's not supposed to offer it up. So that's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says that, nizarev kumsa b'shireo b'shireo shachaverto, if you have this kometz got mixed with its shirayim or with another shirayim from another carbon, lo yakter, you shouldn't offer it up because we say, kol shemimenu isha l'Hashem lo saktiru, the limu we just learned. But v'im hikter, even though you're not supposed to put it up, at the end of the day, olo l'bailam, it helps the owner. Why? Because at the end of the day, he had a kometz that was taken. It got mixed in with flour in a way that he wasn't supposed to offer it, but once it got offered, at the end of the day, his kometz got burnt. And therefore, he was yotzei his chiyuv, his obligation to bring a carbon mincha. Okay, so says the Gemara. Amar Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, Nevela betela b'shchuta, she'i efsher. Okay, so let me try and give a little, this gets a little complicated, so let me try and give a little bit of explanation as to what's going to be going on here. So, I'm spoiling this for, the Gemara is going to ask this question to get here, but let's just try to make it simple. We learned the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda yesterday versus the Chachamim. So the Chachamim learned, as we discussed from Dama Sayer and Dama Par, they learn a special halacha that things that go up on the Mizbeach are not mevatel each other. Rabbi Yehuda learned a more general halacha, which is min b'mino eno batel, that things that are alike are not batel. So now, in the Gemara that we're coming up with now, we're going to basically have a view that it's not enough to be min b'mino, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to not be batel, but it needs some other element of commonality, which we're going to see in a moment, about some other element of commonality in order to say min b'mino is not batel. This is a view in how to understand Rabbi Yehuda. I don't know if it's the only view. Okay, so Amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says as follows, Nevela betela b'shchuta, she'efshir l'shchuta she'tase nevela. So this is not going to make sense for a moment, and then hopefully we'll be able to explain it. So he says, if you have a nevela that got mixed with shchuta, so let's say you had a piece of nevela, which is, by the way, nevela causes tuma, right? So a nevela has, I believe, the din of an ava tuma. So you have nevela that got mixed with, so yeah, let's say you have one piece of nevela that got mixed with two pieces of shchuta, of properly shechted meat, right? And they got mixed up with each other. So now the question is as follows, that is the nevela batel in the shchuta, or is it not? So we're saying as follows, so we're saying that the nevela is batel in the shchuta, according to Rav Chisda. Why? She'i afshar l'shchuta she'teasa nevela. Because what basically Rav Chisda looks at, and he says the relevant inquiry, on top of being min b'mino of similar type, is that it has to be where the majority, the thing that would be the mevatel, the larger entity, has to be, you look at whether it can become like the minority, right? So what are we dealing with here? We're dealing with nevela, which is the minority that got mixed with the majority of shchuta. So according to Rav Chisda, what you look at is, can the majority ever become like the minority? So if your majority, in this case, is shchuta, is validly shechted meat, you can never have a scenario where validly shechted meat becomes nevela. It's already shechted. It's not nevela. Nevela is something that wasn't shechted properly, right? So therefore, he's saying as follows, that nevela is batel and shchuta, even though we're dealing with types of meat. You would think that if we have two types of meat, it's min b'mino. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it should not be batel. So Rav Chisda is adding an element. You have to look. Can the majority become like the minority? If not, it's not sufficiently similar that we say min b'mino eino batel. So because the majority is shchuta, and shchuta can never become nevela, says Rav Chisda, that this fails Rabbi Yehuda's case of min b'mino eino batel, and therefore, in fact, it will be batel. Right? And then therefore, if, let's say, Rashi says you had a piece of truma that would touch one of the pieces of meat, it would not become tameh here, because then whatever nevela was there became batel in the shchuta, and shchuta is not metameh. Okay, but the shchuta ain't a betela b'nevela. But if we were dealing with the opposite, where the nevela was the majority, right? So then what happens? Then you have to look to say meat and meat seems to be min b'mino. Can the majority become like the minority? So the majority in this case is nevela. Can nevela become like shchuta? Says the Gemara, yes. Why? We've encountered this concept before. She'efshar l'nevela she'teasa shchuta. That you can have nevela turn into shchuta. How does that happen? D'lchi misrcha parcha tumasa. Because when nevela becomes spoiled to the point that it's inedible, it loses its status as nevela. So it can become like shchuta, which is halachically acceptable. So you have a case, now where do we learn that from? Because it says, what should you do with nevela? You should give it to the ger who lives by you, and he should eat it. So then the question is, he can only eat something that's edible. So you see that once it's inedible, it loses its status as nevela. So now, according to Rav Chisda, you look at the majority. The majority is nevela. Can the majority become like the minority, which is the shchuta? Answer is yes. Therefore, it checks both boxes. It's meat and meat, so it's min b'mino, and the majority can become like the minority, so therefore, Rav Yehuda's halacha applies, and min b'mino eino batol, and therefore, shchuta would not be betela in nevela, and therefore, so what would be the halacha if a piece of truma touched one of these three pieces of meat? You had two nevela and one shchuta, but since we're saying that the shchuta is not batol in the nevela, any piece of meat that this truma touched, it's not clear that it touched something that's tameh, because the shchuta is not batel in the nevela, and therefore we would leave it unknown. We don't know whether it's tameh. Maybe it touched one of the two pieces of nevela, in which case it's tameh, or maybe it touched a piece of shchuta which was not batel, because min b'mino ain't a batel, and therefore it would be okay. So therefore we don't do anything with that truma. Okay, so this is Rav Chista's halacha. Rav Chanina says the exact opposite. Rabbi Chanina says, I also agree that when Rabbi Yehuda says min b'mino eino batol, it not only has to be like kind, meat and meat, but you also need to have some element of commonality. The only difference is that Rabbi Chanina looks at it and says, you look at the minority, you look at the batel, the thing that's going to become nullified, rather than looking at the mavatel, at the majority. So therefore, says Rav Chanina says, kol she'efshar lo lios kamo, so eino batel. Kol she'efshar lo lios kamo, batel. So he says as follows. He says that if the minority can become like the majority, then it is min b'mino, it is of like kind, and it would not be batel. But if the minority cannot become like the majority, then it would be min b'she'eino mino, even though it's both dealing with meat. So therefore, let's just analyze both cases now. So if you had two pieces of shchuta, of valid meat, and you had one piece of nevela, so you look, can the minority become like the majority? The answer is yes, because the minority nevela, if it gets spoiled, can become like the majority shchuta. So therefore, it is similar. So therefore, you say it's both meat, and the minority can become like the majority, so therefore, this would be a case of min b'mino, and therefore it would be eino batel. So the nevela would not be batel in the shchuta, and you could not eat the meat here. In other words, all of it is a problem, because since the nevela is not batel in the shchuta, one of these pieces is a nevela, and it's an issue by tuma. I don't want to get into eating because that's a different topic in the mafarshim. Okay, so that is the case where the nevela is the minority and the shchuta is the majority. What happens in the opposite, where the shchuta is the minority and the nevela is the majority? So you have two pieces of nevela and one piece of shchuta. So in that case, according to Rav Chanina, you look at, so we're both dealing with meat, so it seems to be min b'mino, but you look at, can the minority, which is the shchuta, become like the majority, which is a nevela? Answer is no. Shchuta can never become like nevela. Therefore, it's min b'she'eino mino, and it becomes batel. And so because the shchuta becomes batel to the nevela, if a piece of truma would touch even this very piece that used to be shchuta, would touch it, it would get burned. Why? Because it's batel in the nevela, and it becomes like a halacha like nevela, and therefore it would be metameh the... It would be metame the shchuta would be treated like nevela. Okay, so he says. So the Gemara asks as follows. Okay, so we have this machlokas Rav Chista and Rav Chanina. Do you look at the majority or do you look at the minority? Do you look at the batel or do you look at the mevatel? So the Gemara wants to know, and I already spoiled this for you, but the Gemara wants to know, who's this like? Aliba Daman. Who are we talking about? If we're talking about the Rabbanon Ha'amri Olin Hudulam Mevatel Adadi Avol Min B'mino Batel. So this whole thing is premised on, once they're similar, like meat and meat, and we're dealing with Min B'mino, do you say Min B'mino ain't a batel, right? So that's clearly not a question according to the Rabbanon, because the Rabbanon don't buy into the concept of Min B'mino ain't a batel. They learned from Dama Par and Dama Sayer yesterday that things that go up on the Mizbeach are not Mevatel each other, but they did not buy into this concept of min b'mino ain't a batel. So this whole machlokas of Rav Chista and Rav Chanina is clearly going in, it's an add-on to the element of min b'mino ain't a batel. So it's not going like the Rabbanon. And Eli but Rabbi Yehuda, if it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda, Vaha says, Amabez, Vaha Rabbi Yehuda, Basar Chazusa Azo.
V'idi min b'minohu.
So, okay, we discussed this yesterday in detail. We talked about the Shita of the Ran. We tied it to another machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda Nachachamim by Ksav al Gabi Ksav and Shabbos and Gittin. But what did the Ran say? The Ran discussed how the fundamental difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim was the following, that the Chachamim looked at the halachic status of something to determine, is this min b'mino, versus Rabbi Yehuda looked at physically, is it min b'mino. So that's why, yesterday, Rabbi Yehuda said that blood, even if you have a little bit of blood that needs zrika, that got a lot of other blood mixed in it, it's not batel, because it's min b'mino, right? So he looked at blood, those are the same things, min b'mino. The Chachamim looked at it and said, no, you have blood that's valid for Zrika, and you have blood that's not. Those are different halachas, right? So that's basically what the Gemara is asking here. The Gemara is saying, wait a second, you, Rav Chanina and Rav Chista, are talking about min b'mino in a batel having to do with whether it's Shchuta or Nevela. So he said, it's not the Rabbanon, because they don't buy into min b'mino in a batel. And it's not Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda only looks at the physical, the Gemara called it here, the chazusa, its appearance. They only look at the physical elements to determine is this min b'mino. You're adding in, on top of the physical elements of min b'mino, you're adding in this concept of, is the majority like the minority like the majority. That's not like Rav Yehuda either. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. So he says, Ela, Aliba, and therefore we say, Idi v'idi min b'mino, who according to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't matter, majority, minority, these are two kinds of meat, they're gonna be batel in each other. I'm sorry, they're not gonna be batel in each other because of min b'mino. So the Gemara says, Ela, Aliba, de Rabbi Chia. This goes according to Rabbi Chia, the Tani, Rabbi Chia, because Rabbi Chia learned, Nevelo, Shchuta, Betela, Zubazu. That Nevelo and Shchuta can be batel in each other. Now mind you, this does not mean that Nevelo and Shchuta just simply are batel in each other, because that's actually the view we're ascribing to Rabbi Yehuda. What we're saying is that Rav Chista and Rav Chanina are arguing in Rav Chia. So Rav Chia said, Nevela and Shchuta are batel in each other. And it's either gonna be like Rabbi Chista that you look at the majority, or it's gonna be like Rabbi Chanina that you look at the minority. But at the end of the day, they are arguing in the view of Rabbi Chia. Now, the Gemara is not satisfied with that. The Gemara says, Rabbi Chia Ali B'daman. Where did Rabbi Chia come from? In other words, we have a clear machlokes, Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, min b'mino batel or eino batel, and there's no Rabbi Chia there. So Rabbi Chia has to be going in someone else's opinion. So we're going to ask again, I alibi d'rabbanan, if Rabbi Chia is going according to the Rabbanan, that doesn't make sense. Because ha amri olin hudulam avatli adadi ha min b'mino batel. Because the Chachamim are the ones that said that Dama par and Dama sar teaches you only about carbonic things. It doesn't have anything to do with min b'mino eino batel. And so they would hold min b'mino is batel. And so this whole discussion makes no sense according to the Chacham. V'i alibid Rabbi Yehuda, and if you're telling me that Rabbi is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, kol min b'mino l'Rabbi Yehuda lo batel. Rabbi Yehuda just looks at the physical element, meat and meat. It's min b'mino, it's not batel. So therefore, we decided that Rav Chanina and Rav Chista are arguing in Rabbi Chia. But who does Rabbi Chia go like? So the Gemara says, "La'olam alibad Rabbi Yehuda, v'ki ka'amar Rabbi Yehuda min b'mino labato, hanimili hecha de after leilu mehevi kavase. Well, hecha de lo after leilu mehevi kavase bato." So he says as follows, that really we're going to revise Rabbi Yehuda. And we're going to say that according to Rabbi Chia, when Rabbi Yehuda says min b'mino lo batel, it also needs this secondary analysis can one become like the other? If one can become like the other, it's min b'mino. If they can't become like one another, then it's min b'she'eino mino. So, and then the Gemara says, this is what Rav Chista and Rav Chanina are arguing, that they're arguing in Rabbi Chia's interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda. So we're now saying Rabbi Yehuda requires, in order to say min b'mino eino batel, it has to be physically similar, like meat and meat, and it has to be where one side can become like the other. The Rav Chista savar batel mevatel azlino. And Rav Chista says, look at the majority, can it become like the minority? That's what Rabbi Chia is learning in Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Chanina savar baser batel azlino. And Rabbi Chanina learns that when Rabbi Chia says that in order to be min b'mino eino batel, Rabbi Yehuda requires both that it be physically similar and that the minority can become like the majority. Okay, so we now have a new understanding in Rabbi Yehuda, at least according to Rabbi Chia, which is that you require both physical similarity and some element of one being able to become like the other. And when you say one like the other, Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Chista argue about which one has to be able to come like the other. Is it the majority has to be able to come like the minority in order to say mim b'mino ayin abatol? That's the view of Rabbi Chista. Or is it the minority has to be able to come like the majority to say mim b'mino ayin abatol? That is the view of Rabbi Chanina. Sorry if it's complicated, but that's what it is. Now we're going to get into analyzing. We're going to have four questions. Analyzing each clause of our Mishnah vis-a-vis this machlokas of the understanding of between Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Chista about the view of Rabbi Chiya. Okay, so we say as follows. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Shtei menachos shelo nikmetzu, you had two minchas that were not, did not have a kometz taken out from them. V'nesarvu zu bezu, and they got mixed with each other. Im yachol likmot mizu b'fnei atmo mizu b'fnei atmo ksheros. So this was the case of the concentric circles. You had some elements of it got mixed, but you had enough from either side that you could take a kometz. So if you have enough that you can take a kometz from either side, you're good. But if there isn't enough to take a kometz, it's mixed together. You can't be positive that you're getting misalta from each flower, and then it would be puzzle. Okay, so what does that have to do with our machlokas here? So we're saying as follows. The ha-hacha, but in this case, kiven the kometz le-michada, Idoch havile shirayim v'lo kamen vatli shirayim litivla. So we say as follows. What happens when you had these two minchas overlapping each other? You take the kemitza from one. Okay, now the minute you finish taking the kemitza from one, what are you left with? You're left with shirayim of the mincha that you took a kometz from, and you're left with an entirely unaddressed mincha, which has both a kometz and a shirayim, a potential kometz and a potential shirayim in it, right? So now, the question we're going to deal with is as follows. Why don't we say that the shirayim that is left over, and there's a lot of complexity to this in Rashi and things, I'm just going to try and make it simple. I'm not going to address all the questions Rashi has, and because we're late. So the question is as follows, that if the shirayim is bigger than what we're going to call tevel. What is tevel? It's not tevel the way we normally think of tevel, but it comes from there. The way we normally think of tevel is if you have produce that you need to take miser from, let's say, till you take miser, it's tevel. But if you think about it, when you have tevel, tevel has what is going to eventually become the miser, and it's going to have what's left over that you could eat on your own. So in a similar fashion, we're calling an unaddressed mincha, we're calling it tevel, because it has in it both a potential shirayim and a potential kometz. So now, what are you left with? You're left with, you've taken out the kometz of one, so you have shirayim, a bundle of shirayim, and you have a bundle of tevel. Now, why not say, if the shirayim is bigger than the tevel, that the tevel should become batel in the shirayim? It wouldn't be all of the tevel, but even if the concentric circle of tevel, because now what you have the concentric circle where you have shirayim left, and you have some tevel in it, so why not say that the shirayim is mevatel the tevel, right? But we don't say that because, how do we know we don't say that? Because the Mishnah says you could take the second kometz, right? So it must be that the shirayim and the tevel are not batel one and the other, right? So it must be that it's mim b'mino, right? So now, what are we talking about here? And I'm sorry, it's complicated, but what we're talking about here is the idea that the shirayim should be able to be mevatel the tevel, right? So if the shirayim is the majority, so as follows, if you look at the majority, can this shirayim ever become tevel? No, right? So, but if you look at the minority, which is the tevel, can the tevel ever become like the majority, which is shirayim? Yes, it can, because if you take out the kometz, it's going to be good. So what do you see? In order to say that it's mim b'mino eino batel, you're clearly looking at the minority, the tevel. And therefore, that would seem to be a halacha like Rabbi Chanina, that you look at the minority, and once you look at the minority and say the tevel can become shirayim, so therefore it becomes mim b'mino, and once it's similar, it's mim b'mino, that explains why it's eino batel. So that works well according to Rabbi Chanina. But according to Rabbi Chista, you would say that you only look at whether the majority can become the minority, and then since the shirayim can never become tevel, you would say it's mim b'she'eino mino, and then therefore it wouldn't be batel. So therefore, it's a kasha on Rav Chista. So we say as follows. So mani, Who is this going like? Rabbanan, ho amri olin hudulama batli hadadi ha mim b'mino batol. So we're not talking in the Rabbanan, because they don't hold a mim b'mino eno batol, right? El pshita Reb Yehuda. So it's going according to Reb Yehuda. And remember, Reb Chanina and Reb Chista are arguing in Reb Yehuda. Bishlam alamandamar basar batol azlina. So it goes well according to the one who says we look at the minority, the thing that becomes batol, which is Reb Chanina, that works. Batol have become a batol. That the tevel can become like the shirayim, the lechi kametz meidach havelu shirayim, because when you take the kamitza from the tevel, the rest of it becomes shirayim, kihani, like these. Ela lemandamer basam mevatel azlinon, but according to the mandamer, which is Rav Chisda, who says you look at the majority, shirayim mikah have tivla, could shirayim, which have already been had a kometz taken from them and ever become tevel, they can't. So therefore, we have a kasha on Rav Chisda. Says the Gemara, Lema, so says the Gemara, it's a kasha, Lema, the look of Rav Chia. Maybe Rav Chia is wrong, because according, or at least according to the way Rabbi Chisda understands it. So the Gemara says, Hasam Kedrav Zera. He says, no. He says, there's a unique halacha, so even though according to Rav Chisda, you would ordinarily say that you look just at the majority, can it become like the minority, to say that it's not batal because min b'mino, he says, here's a special halacha. Dam Reb Zera, because Reb Zera says, Nemra haktara b'komets, v'nemra haktara b'shirayim. So he says, there's a gzera shava between the komets and the shirayim. Where does it say the komets by the haktara by komets is the pasuk in the second paragraph by Yikra, where it says that you take the komets and the and Aaron and his sons bring it up as karahi, that you bring it up and you burn it. So that's haktara by the komets. Where do we have the idea of haktara written by shirayim? So I told you this before. It says kol shemimenu isha lashem lo saktiru. We darshan that word mimenu. Anything that is had something taken from it to Hashem, i.e. shirayim, lo saktiru should not be burnt. So you see the word saktiru in reference of shirayim, and you see the word saktiru by komets. So we learn as follows: ma haktara hamur bekomets ena komets mevatos chavero, af haktara hamur bishirayim en shirayim mevatos hakomets. So he says, just like you see that a komets cannot be mevatel another komets, so too a shirayim cannot be mevatel a komets. Okay, where do we see that a komets cannot be mevatel a komets? Because we learned the Mishnah that if you had two kamitzas that got mixed with each other, we said you could burn them both. And even Reb Yehuda, who argued when he said when you have a kamitza that's mixed with something with a greater amount of oil, he argued in the case of Minchas Nesachim and a Minchas Chavit in the Kohen Gadol. He did not argue in the case of two kometzes because they have the same ratio of flour and oil. So we learned that yesterday, that two kometzes are not mevatel each other. So Reb Zera learns a Gzera Shava, that since by komets it's written saktiru, and since by shirayim it's written saktiru, so we see that a shirayim cannot be mevatel a komets, right? So then, therefore, what's going on here? The idea we were trying to say, and we're going to see where Zera says that halacha, but the idea we were trying to say was that the shirayim is larger than the tevel, and therefore the shirayim should be mevatel the tevel. But what's the problem? It can't be, because in the tevel, as we've discussed, is a potential komets and a potential shirayim. So a shirayim cannot be mevatel a komets. So therefore, Rav Chisda would answer you and say, even though it's true that normally you have to look at the majority, and since here the majority can never become like the minority because the shirayim can never become tevel, we're not going to say it's mimbish eino mino and it's batel, because there's a special gzeir shava that says there's no bitel of shirayim cannot be mimbatel a komets. So Rav Chisda answers the question. Tashma, now it's going to get a little easier because it's similar. So if you understood that, you'll understand this. Okay, Tashma. Hakomets shenisarev ben mincha shlo nikmetza. So our Mishnah said that if you had a komets that got mixed, so you had a komets that was taken out of a carbon mincha, that got mixed with a mincha shlo nikmetza, that got mixed with an unaddressed mincha, i.e. tevel, lo yaktir, you should not burn it, because there's no mitzvah to burn the overall mincha, and therefore we're not going to burn it. v'im hikdir, but if he went ahead and burnt it, zush nikmetzah also labaylim, v'zush lo nikmetzah lo also labaylim. Then this one that that had the kmitza had been taken from it, it wasn't supposed to get burnt because it got mixed with a regular mincha, or another mincha that was tevel, but at the end of the day, if it got burnt, it works for its owners. But the mincha that was tevel never had the kmitza, never had the kometz taken from it, does not work, right? V'lo kamevato le'tivlo le'kometz. And we don't say that the tevel is going to be mevato the kometz. So what happened here? You had a kometz that was validly taken that got mixed with a carbon mincha that was still tevel, had never been addressed. So why don't you say the following? That the tevel, the big carbon mincha, should be mevato the kometz. And then therefore, if the tevel is mevato the kometz, then the kometz ceases to exist. And when this whole mixture gets burnt on the mizbeach, even the original owner should not be helped because his kmitza disappeared into a tevel. So we say, Mani, who is it? Rabbanon. If it's Rabbanon, ha amri olin hudulam avatli adadi habimimino batel. So the Rabbanon don't buy into this whole mimimino aino batel thing. So it's clearly not them. Elapshita. So rather, it's Pashat Reb Yehuda that we're talking about, Reb Yehuda. So bishlom alamandam rambasar mevatel azlinon. So now it's a kasha Reb Chista. On Rav Chanina, because we're saying it works well according to Rav Chista, who says you look at the majority. Because mevatel have a kibatel. So he says, because what are we talking about here? We're talking about the tevel, meaning the unaddressed mincha, should be mevatel the kometz. So now, the unaddressed mincha is the majority. You look at the majority and say, can an unaddressed mincha ever become like a kometz? Yes, if you would, in other words, because inherent in a, this is what the Gemara says, the chol porta chazi lemikmetz minei, because inherent in a tevel is potential kometz. So this tevel can become a kometz, and then therefore, the kometz should be like the other kometz, and what do you have? The majority can become like the minority, it's min bimino, and it's eino batel. So that explains why the kometz doesn't get subsumed into the tevel and become batel in it. V'avalei min bimino lo batel. Elo l'man da'amar, but according to Rebbe Chanina, who says batel baser batel azlina, that we look at the minority, can the minority ever become like the majority? So the question is, can the minority, which in this case is a kometz, ever become tevel? The answer is, of course not, because a kometz cannot become tevel. So therefore we say, kometz mikah have tivla, can a kometz become tevel? Lema the lokrab chiyo. So this should be, according to Reb Chanina, a kasha, our mission should be a kasha on Reb Chiyo. So the Gemara answers, no. Hanami kid Reb Zera. This is also like Reb Zera. Because what are we dealing with here? The idea was that tevel should be mevatel a kometz. Now Reb Zera learned that shirayim can never be mevatel a kometz, right? We learned that. Just like a kometz can't be mevatel a kometz, a shirayim cannot be mevatel a kometz. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about a tevel being mevatel a kometz. But inherent in a tevel is an element of shirayim. And since shirayim cannot be mevatel a kometz, that's the reason it's not batel in this case. Okay, tashma, third case from our Mishnah. Nisarev kumtso b'shirayim shel chaverto, if you had a kometz that got mixed into either its own shirayim or to another shirayim, lo yakdir. It says you shouldn't offer it up. Why? Because we said that this is kol shemimenu isha l'ashem lo saktiru, that you're not supposed to offer up shirayim, but v'yim hikdir, but if he did offer it up, also labailam, then the kometz works for the bailam. Now the Gemara asks as follows, v'ha'acha d'lo have mevato kibato. So what would be the idea here? So the idea here would be that the shirayim should be mevatel the kometz, right? So now, here is interesting. Here you have a problem according to both Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Chista. Why? Because what are you saying? You're saying the shirayim should be mevatel the kometz. So the majority is the shirayim, and the minority is the kometz. So if you say, look at the majority, I'm sorry, so we have, 1 second. So in the comes to Bishraim Shachaverto, Layakter, Vim Hikdir, also Labayam. So we say that works. We say Vahacha Delohavim Mevato Kibato, Veloka Mevatli Le Shirayim Lekometz. So he's saying as follows. Hold on 1 second. Vim Hikdir, also Labayam. Vahacha Delohavim Mevato Kibato. So what the idea here would be that the komets should become batal in its shirayim. So the So the komets should become batal in its own shirayim. So the question is as follows: regardless, so in other words, the shirayim is the majority and the komets is the minority. So the question is: can a shirayim, if the shirayim is the majority, can the shirayim ever become a komets? The answer is no, because it already had a komets taken from it. Now, can a komets ever become shirayim? No, because it was already pulled from a carbon mincha. So this is a problem, whether you learn like Rav Chanina or you learn like Rav Chisda, in neither case can the majority can't become like the minority, and the minority can't become like the majority, and yet we say that the komets does not become batal in its own shirayim or shirayim shel chaverta. So you seem to have a halacha that says it's not like Rav Chanina and it's not like Rav Chisda. So it's a good kasha on Rav Chia. How can you say that when Rav Yehuda says mim b'mino ein a batal has to be where it's capable of becoming like it, whether it's majority, minority, minority, majority, it doesn't help in this case. So the shirayim can never become a komets and the komets can never become a shirayim. Money, who is it? Rabbanon. If it's Rabbanon, don't hold up Mimbamino, ain't a bottle. And if it's Reb Yehuda, in other words, this doesn't work according to Reb Chia. So now, in the prior two cases, we answered, this is like Reb Zera said. This is, the third case is where Reb Zera actually said it. Reb Zera said, Nemra haktara b'komets, v'nemra haktara b'shirayim. That it's written haktara b'komets in Vayikra Beis. And it's written haktara b'shirayim that kol shemimenu isha l'ashem l'saktiru. Ma haktara amur b'komets, in a komets mevatal chavero. Just like a komets can't be mevatal another komets, af haktara hamur b'shirayim, and shirayim mevatal nesak komets. So too, a shirayim cannot be mevatal a komets. So therefore, what are we saying? That whether according to Reb Chisda or according to Reb Chanina, we're saying that it's not mevatel. So we're saying, but shouldn't it be mevatel? Because since the majority can't become the minority can't become majority, it's mim b'she'en o'min on it should become batel. So answers Reb Zera, no, it doesn't work like that, because what are we suggesting should happen here? We're suggesting that the shirayim, either its own shirayim or shirayim shel chaverta, should be mevatel akometz. According to Reb Zera, shirayim is never mevatel akometz, even if it's mim b'she'en o'mino. So it has nothing to do with mim b'mino en o'bato. It has to do with the special halacha of Zera. So this is where Zera said his halacha. So we've now answered all three elements of our Mishnah. Very quickly. Tashma, come in here. Tivla b'ketzach b'shumshinin u'mchom minei tavlin. If you have, you spiced your matzah, Rashi learns the dough itself, you put in spices, you put in sesame, you put in ketzach, which is something else, some kind of seed or something, or any other kind of salt, ksheira, you would say it's kosher, matzah, it's still considered matzah, elishinikres matzah metuvelis. It's called spicy matzah. So the Gemara says, kasal kadaitach, we initially understood this, the afish le tavlin tfemi matzah, that there was more spice than matzah. So the question is as follows, if there's more spice than matzah, we say as follows, bishlam alamandamar basar batal azlina, and according to the one who says, which is Reb Chanina, that we look at the minority. So what's the minority? The minority is matzah. The majority is spice. So we're going to say, he says, batel havekimavatel. He says the matzah is like the spice. Why? Delchi ma'afsha havelo ketavlin. Because when the matzah gets spoiled, I don't know how many years you have to wait for matzah to spoil, but when the matzah gets spoiled, it becomes like tavlin in as much that it's not matzah. So according to Reb Chanina, it works. But according to Reb Chisda, who says you look at the majority, can the majority become like the minority? So what's the majority? Here's the spices. Tavlin mika have matzah. Can spices ever become matzah? So it's a kasha on Reb Chisda because if the majority in this case can never become like the minority, and so you should say it should be you should say that these are mim b'she'en o'mino, and therefore. I'm sorry. You should say that it's. One second. So if we look at the mevata, which is the spice, we're going to say that the minority can become like the majority. The majority cannot become like the minority. So why do we say according to Rav Chisda, we should on our, this should be a case where we say mim b'she'en o'mino hu. So the Gemara says. One second. That is Hachav Mayaskinan Dolo Afish Lo Tivlin. Your Deruba Matzahi Vlo Batla. So So he says, this whole, the reason you had a kasha on Rav Chisda is because the premise of your understanding of this brisa was that the, I'm sorry, so just to explain what I was saying before, is that the kasha on Rav Chisda is that if a minority is batal in the majority, that if it's min b'she'eino mino, so you should not consider this valid matzah, because what happens? The minority that's matzah becomes spice. It has halacha like a spice, so it should not be kasher for Pesach. That's the kasher on Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda is going to answer you. He says, you asked a question on me, which was based on a premise, that when the Mishnah said that you salted, that you spiced your matzah, you assumed that the spice was greater than the matzah. So therefore, the majority was the spice. Spice can never become like the minority, like matzah. So it's a kasha on me, Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says, but that only works if you assume that the spice was the majority. But if I would tell you, which actually makes more sense, that the matzah was the majority and there's less spice than there is matzah, so then it's not a big deal. Because since the, because you look at the majority is the matzah can become like the spice when it spoils, and therefore it's min bimino, and therefore it's not going to be batal. It's min bimino, and it's not going to be batal, and it's fine because the spice is not batal to the matzah, but it's still valid matzah. So that's a Rav Chisda's answer. What are we talking about here? Delo afish la tivlon. We're not talking about where there were more spices than matzah. Elo deruba matzahi, that the majority is matzah. Velo batla, and it is not batal. So therefore, and when we say dekanami, he says that Rav Chisda's answer actually makes sense, that we're talking about where there's a greater amount of matzah than spice. The katani, because we learned matzahi elosh nikreis matzah metuvelas, that is considered matzah, but it's just called spiced matzah. So you see that what's happening here is that it's the primary element is the matzah, not the spice. Shema mina, we hear from here. So therefore, Rav Chisda was able to answer his question. So what do we have from all this? We have Rav Chia's view of Rabbi Yehuda, that we say, min b'mino eino batal. It's not enough that they be physically similar, but there has to be one is able to come like the other. And as a machlok is, when we say that one has to be able to come like the other, Rav Chisda says, you look at the majority, can it become like the minority? And Rav Chanina says, you look at the minority, can it become like the majority? And only if it has that element of similarity do we say this is a case of min b'mino v'eino batal.